good.
Okay, listen, we've got fucking hard apple cider.
No, nice. Bud Light's fine.
But we also have champagne if you want it.
No, the Bud Light's good.
Okay.
Is it with lime? I like the with lime.
That's your favorite.
Yeah. Lime?
No, totally. It's just straight up Bud Light, but it's flowing. There are four in
is
this
Is it
room.
Platinum, like Nicki Minaj drinks, or is it just the regular?
Oh, man, Platinum got me fucked up! It gets me so fucked up!
Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another edition of This Week in Music Videos, brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database. I almost forgot what her name was for a second there. My name is Adam, I do things for the IMVDB, and then with us as usual, actually from a completely different location this time, from Vimeo headquarters in New York, is Mr. Douglas Klinger. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam. People look at me like I'm worth both MJs.
Right. Okay. We might need a little some rap genius annotations on that later. But
you don't know what that means?
No. What does that mean?
People look at me.
Yes.
Like I'm worth
so far like following I have, you.
Like I have as much money.
Right.
As Michael Jackson mm-hmm. and Michael Jordan put together.
Okay. Well, you should have just said that the first time. And then with us north of the wall, as usual, is Mr. Adam Alexander, Fringe Music Fix. How are you, Adam?
I'm here. I'm ready. Let's go.
Oh, good. Well, okay. Thank you.
Bare bones.
And then we have a special guest with us on this edition of the podcast, Andrea Allen of Vimeo, Director of Production at Vimeo.
Hi.
Andrea, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. We know that you are kind of like... You sit next to Doug at Vimeo.
So, yeah, I have the prestigious position of sitting right next to Doug.
Which is super exciting because for a long time, Doug was sitting alone. Like, the people who were next to Doug
yeah,
were
the
cats.
Work from home, yeah.
My mom came around sometimes, which was cool.
But now Doug works with us, and it's great. And I was a strong believer that he always belonged here, and he proved himself, you know?
We always wondered how he...
Physically, it was like physical.
Yeah, that's true. He had to go through the gauntlet. We call it the Vimeo gauntlet. And Doug passed with flying colors and, you know...
It was like a stab line. I run through a line. Everyone
I mean, don't
knife,
give it all away.
And they stab. Don't give it all... Stabs.
I mean, yeah, we okay. do. We did. We have like the kicking okay. of legs, the stabbing of stabs, the eating of bugs, and like some other weird things that I can't really say.
And I did them all. It's very Survivor. Survivor meets the Bloods.
How many people did you kill?
I don't remember what happened to the third guy.
Oh, yeah.
At least two.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Doug's told me in confidence he's pretty sure he got away, but he doesn't want to jeopardize his career at Vimeo.
It was like in Kids when they beat that dude up with the skateboards, but like you feel like maybe he survived.
John
He died.
Fun fact, John. I read a John Lennon biography where they say he thinks he might have killed somebody when he was a teenager. But
John Lennon?
Yeah. Anyway,
how?
It was like
from
one
the Rolling
of those
Stones, Doug.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah. You know that band. and Andrea, you were just in South by Southwest.
I was, yes. It was pretty good this year. The weather is what was the best part. I got to say that. Sorry.
Yes, it was the best part out of all the other things.
I mean, I cannot lie. And the winter here in New York has been a complete shit show, and the weather down in Austin. Was a dream. I mean, everything else was really cool, as always. You know, you get to meet and talk with friends. You get to meet new friends and talk with old ones. And then, you know, see some films and whatever. It's awesome.
But you get to wear shorts, and that's what really matters.
Exactly. Exactly.
And this
Doug, you get this.
I do.
You weren't there.
No, but I have been.
Okay.
we were there 2 years ago when, I can't remember, Simon Kesh won for... Vitalik.
Stamina, yeah.
Stamina by Vitalik. And there was one...
We got the Touches Award.
That's right. We had... we were there. This year, they have added another award for music videos. The main winner for the Music Video Jury Award was the Paolo Nutini Iron Sky video, which directed by Daniel Wolf, which we've talked about many times on the podcast.
And just, you know, in our top 10 of the year, too. So, like, clearly we have a good taste.
Exactly.
Also, I feel like... I could have been in that video after attending South by Southwest.
Whoa.
That's how I felt.
Whoa.
My body and my mind.
That's actually pretty intense.
Which, I mean, it wasn't
that's
that.
Not quite
okay, not that bad. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Which scene would you have been? Would you have been one of the people hearing the noise and being Kevin Cage?
I think what it was is like I'm in a circus tent that's abandoned and there are wolves running over running around my body and there's blood coming out of my head. I think that's how I felt. You know that scene. You know that one.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And then we have a new award. I'm not sure if this is brand new for this year, but we actually saw.
Yeah, I think they just like did it.
Yeah, we saw a tweet and we thought Daniels had won because they were on stage talking, and then we saw this official tweet from South by Southwest, turned down for what by DJ Snake featuring Lil Jon, directed by Daniels, won the Music Video Special Jury Recognition Award.
Which means they still got to go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
They still got probably a plaque with a South by Southwest belt buckle on it. Mm-hmm. So they got all of that. But yeah, we did get confused. We saw a picture and it just said hashtag winners and showed Daniels on stage at the South by Southwest award ceremony.
So did you tweet?
We did tweet.
Nice.
So for the 98 people who saw that tweet, we apologize for you for momentarily getting the wrong info. But they won something. It's not like we just like announced a winner that was just completely wrong.
Right. They don't let you up on stage unless you have like we're in the ballpark there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So
that's really our standard of quality. We're looking for the ballpark.
That's what you come to expect here at the Internet Music Video Database. We're in the ballpark. It's in the footer. We say that. turned out for what? Also in our 10 best videos of the year, number 2. Paolo was number 3, right? We can look.
3 or 4. I think that I'm glad that won because, I mean, obviously it's a fantastic music video. But I think as we talked about in our top 10 of the year post, that was a video that I think just blew everyone's mind for sort of being a music video where you watch it and you're like, how did you possibly make this? Like the scope and the breadth and sort of the level it was on.
You mean Iron Sky?
Iron Sky, yes.
Yeah.
It turned out for what I think in a different vein, but Iron Sky was one of those videos that I think kind of in a way upped everybody's game for the rest of 2015 and onward, and definitely would deserve that award.
They're both videos that make me go, like so grateful that they were even able to be made. Like neither of those videos are a thing where like an artist should be like, yep, this is gonna help me sell my music. Dan Kwan humping a TV, like that's gonna sell records, or
a bunch of people tweaking out.
Yeah, right. Or a bunch of people just like suffering. Yeah. A whole video focused on suffering, and you know, so it would be hard to argue that South by Southwest like got it wrong. Like those are like really great videos, and another thing to mention, I saw some pictures from South by. Like, I think about 90% of the directors were there.
Yeah, I saw that too. That crazy picture. A room full of directors.
The picture was just a regular picture. But it wasn't crazy. But it was full of people. That was me, Adam. I'm sorry.
Was it one of those wedding pictures where they're like, now they're the crazy one?
Right. And everyone was jumping.
Right.
Except Hiro Murai. He didn't time it right and he wasn't jumping.
So I don't know if Doug has been a part of this yet. I'm just bringing it back to Vimeo for 1 second.
Right.
But when we do the crazy thing, the crazy photo thing, we just touch each other awkwardly.
And that's that's kind of what's going on
in that other photo from South By?
Yeah, in the South By picture. Everyone's kind of awkwardly touching each other. Because it's a small... Because, Adam, if you remember when we went in 2013, the room, you know, was relatively full. And then they were like, all right, anybody who is a filmmaker or an artist on this video, come to the stage. And the music video screening is always at 11 a.m. on a Monday. And 75% of the room went to the front because everyone who was there was just part of it. Like, music videos are kind of... They, like, announce them with the high school videos. Like, they're not the top bill at South By. But, like, it's still really great. Like, I heard basically Daniel Wolf was the only nominated director that wasn't there. Like, Gia Coppola was there. Obviously, Hiro, Daniels, our buddy Tim Hendricks, all the boys and girls were there. And so we'll link to that photo in the show notes. At that crazy photo.
Well, Photoshop it first. I'm gonna Photoshop it crazy.
You're gonna make it crazy. You're gonna give everyone a pair of sunglasses. It'll be a party.
Jumping. They're all jumping.
Right.
Cat ears. You know.
That's cool. Give them Kanye sweaters.
Someone's gonna have an inflatable saxophone. Yeah.
Oh shit. Adam's the king of inflatable saxes.
Adam's like, I gotta first. Does anybody have a copy of Photoshop?
Right. First, let's.
Yeah. Exactly. You guys, that's in the mail.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. That, yeah, yeah, that one's coming too. That one got returned to sendered also, like your microphone.
Sweet.
And the thing that I love about South by Southwest is that I think out of any of the, like, the I've seen music videos in the theater a few times now, and South by Southwest is just a crazy, amazing setup. I mean, the video is obviously impeccable, but it's great to see music videos in a venue where the audio is also just, like, out of control.
Yeah, you know, right.
Great quality. I remember seeing the Shoes Time to Dance video in that venue was really, really amazing. And I would have loved to see Turn Down for What and Iron Sky, as well as all the other. There was a fantastic lineup this year. So.
Yeah, it was really strong. It was really strong. And I love that. I love that that crazy Tim Hendricks video ends the show with the fucking llama
or whatever. Was it the show ended?
Yeah, that was the last one. I talked to Tim a little bit about it. Yeah, that was the show ender. So, big ups to our boy Timmy. So anyway, those are the winners. You should watch them.
And speaking of lists of interesting music videos, I think this might be, like, you know, this is March 2015, toward the end of March. We've had a few months under our belt, and this, like, might be, like, one of the most interesting weeks, not for giant pop music videos that are, you know, raking in views, but just for really interesting music videos.
I think the Meghan Trainor one has the potential to kind of blow up. Both of her last two videos were Vivo certified, and the lips are moving, which we were
lukewarm on.
Less than kind to when we talked about it on the podcast, is already at 190 million views in a couple of months, which, you know, is a couple. So Dear Future Husband has the potential to reach those numbers. Directed by Fatemita Robinson. Did I say her name right? Fatima Robinson. Well, we do that all the time. So Andrea shouldn't be laughing at me like she is.
you're putting letters into the name that aren't there,
though.
Yeah,
well, you know what? I'm sitting really far away from this computer right now. But then also about that, All About That Bass is closing on 700 million views. So, you know, if Dear Future Husband, like, peaks at 10 million, then that's like a fraction of what, you know, her other videos have kind of hit.
And I think it's important Fatemita. To mention, yeah, Fatima Robinson, I think, is one of those people that maybe people have definitely seen her work, but maybe not aren't you know, familiar with her name. She obviously did All About That Bass, and this is a return to Fatima Robinson after working with Philip Endelman for Lips Are Moving.
Right.
And then...
And Lips Are Moving came out as, like, a package commercial plus music video thing.
Pretty much, yeah. And then, you know, she's also a choreographer, which is important. Mm-hmm. But her other most famous music video is My Humps by Black Eyed Peas in 2005.
Right.
Which she
co-directed. But she also did the choreography for, like, the Haim, If I Could Lose Your Mind video directed by Warren Fu, as well as the Marilyn Monroe Pharrell Williams video. I mean, she's a very, like, prolific choreographer for a lot of big name directors as well. Interestingly enough, she's worked with Philip Handelman.
It's true. So this video is for a track called Dear Future Husband off of her first record Title. When All About the Bass came out, she just had an EP out, and this song was actually on the EP. And it's funny because, you know, when you see that it was also directed by Fatima Robinson, there's all sorts of comparisons that you can make. And they, of course, transfer over a lot of elements. It's got a lot of the same dancers. It's got a lot of the same stylistic elements. And it kind of features Meghan Trainor kind of going through a number of guys who are trying to, you know, court her, be her future husband. And she knocks them off her list for various inane reasons throughout the music video.
Yeah, some of them are pretty picky. I mean, I couldn't do this thing. And I mean, she literally stamps the word fail on their faces. Like, it's pretty fucking mean. This video is mean. Yeah, so that is what happens. She finds some of them on Plenty of Fish, which is fun. It's a very heavy product placement in this music video.
It's making a comeback. It's
POF? Coming. Are you a POF user?
No, it's terrible.
So but you know how it is, but you don't use it.
Exactly. I'm all about
I don't know how that works.
I'm all about failed attempts on Tinder.
Okay, I dig that. I think that's what Tinder is. Tinder is about failed attempts.
Well, remember when Plenty of Fish had a kind of a famous product placement in the telephone video by Lady Gaga featuring Beyonce, where the prison warden is on Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish is the product placement that is put in music videos the least tastefully. Right. I remember one time, I think it was a Kesha music video. I think Hype Williams directed it. It was definitely a Hype Williams video. Can't remember if it was Kesha. But there's like a DJ and he's like doing DJ things. And then they just cut to a reverse shot and it's just Plenty of Fish on his computer. Just for no reason.
Like, wait, is he like mixing and matching his dates or something?
I mean, yes, I think so. He's remixing his dates. So like he's getting like one lady's arms. And the other and everybody else, but yeah, so like that, they just like shove Plenty of Fish dating sites in general. If you guys remember last week, we talked about that terrible Carly Rae Jepsen video where like they tried to squeeze Tinder in there by putting Tom Hanks on Tinder. Like who thought that was a good idea? It's like, no, kids will love this. Kids will love knowing that they maybe could match with Tom Hanks.
We're scrolling through the video over here, and Doug just had that part where the guy like feeds her, he offers her that really nice like gourmet meal thing, and she's like, no,
she's not into the meat.
Not into the gourmet, not into the gourmet.
He tries to shove it in her face.
She sold on the pizza though at the end,
right? Yeah, yeah.
The pizza.
She's
seals
a real girl. She's a real woman.
But it's still fucking rude, right?
This right. That guy just did that nice gesture for her.
Green napkins.
We should go through the reasons that people are rejecting this video. First of all, so the song is called "Dear Future Husband," and it's really like, who gets to fuck Meghan Trainor? And like the guy who like tries to feed her a nice meal that looks like a scallop, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think I thought it was a scallop too.
And yeah, okay, that's good to get. I thought it was maybe crazy.
I like scallops.
I love scallops.
You get it right. Then it's really good.
No, yeah, and that guy. This is the guy in the video is the type of guy to get the scallop right.
Yeah,
I think this is the lady who likes scallops. Let me try something I've never tried before.
Right,
like,
but it's one scallop.
He's a scallop guy,
and so he gets the fail stamp. Another guy who's like takes her to a carnival and can't do the thing where you
the muscle man hit the hammer
and it goes right. up the thing.
I'd be nervous if you could. If my future husband took me to a carnival and he was like, I got this. I'd be like, why are you hanging out at carnival so much that you're able to do this?
Check out how violent I can be, babe. Watch this.
Well, I always thought that those things were kind of like set up that you fail on purpose. So that if you get it right, then you're gaming the system and you kind of have been at carnivals your whole life or something.
Whoa. That's way deeper than I was ready to take that.
So, you know, I'm just thinking.
No, ahead. that makes perfect sense.
It's like layers, you know, you got to think about it.
The weirdest one though to me is because it feels like they kind of ran out of ideas at some point, because the third guy is like a sailor, and the best thing I can kind of glean from this is that he like doesn't like he like takes her on a boat, and then the boat ride doesn't go well and she gets splashed with water, and he has the most like nebulous fail to me. I don't know. I still don't know what he did.
I thought a fish was like puking on her or something. Or like, you know, she got splashed by something.
It just doesn't.
Like a dolphin came up and
it's just a dolphin
tried to shake her hand.
Don't reveal to us.
Right.
That's like, out of her control, though.
That there's a dolphin here. We've implied.
See, he got splashed. She got splashed.
My favorite part about the carnival part is that that's not cliche at all.
You're really hung up on this carnival stuff.
Well,
Doug maybe has. I think he may have some history with a carnival.
Doug may have stopped watching the carnival part. yeah, and so that's all I know.
Doug was like, all I have is my brute strength, and if she won't
she can't accept me for not being a wet noodle. What are the things on the thing? Oh no, sad sack. Oh, oh my. Those are the levels that this guy is reaching. He gets worse as he goes.
Yeah, he gets the sad sack, and then really interesting elements are like. Fascinating elements of this video, and the other is that Fatima Robinson can't really let go of this style thing that she's been on lately, where there are like little fast motion scenes, but the fast motion scenes aren't really, there's no like payoff to them, and for some reason the fast motion scene she's chosen for this is Meghan Trainor attempting to kind of sexily clean a floor.
Which I hate. Oh, God. I can't tell you. I hate this music video. I mean, was like, here's the watch list. Check these out. And I'm watching it. And as I'm watching this, I keep, like, today, as I was doing it, I just kept pausing the video and, like, looking over at Doug to see if he was watching me watch. So I could give him the stink eye to be like, why did you do this to me? This is, like, time out of my day that I feel like I actually have to pay attention to have something good to say or interesting to say about this. And all I can think is, like, how much how angry I am with him for, like, giving this to me. And it's not just like watch 10 seconds of this and laugh with me about it. It's like you're on your own, Andrea. Watch it and have something smart to say.
Figure it
out, Doug. Damn.
We do this every week for him, Andrea. Every week.
Jesus.
I'm just shoveling some people's faces and like, yeah, you'll know what to do.
And I'm just looking at him like,
so good at
what
my
the
job.
Fuck? What is he thinking? Like,
I'm interested.
What do I have to say? I hate it. Yeah, she's got like water coming on her legs, trying to be sexy on that floor. It's gross. I hate it.
I mean,
I told Doug. I was like, do you guys remember Doug? Doug, remember when that whole like girl power thing happened in the late 90s, early
with Spice Girls. And shit. Yeah,
and it was like to me, I was like into it. I was like, that's cool, girl power. This is cool. And like this video, I feel is trying to do. And this and like a couple other like artists nowadays, they're like trying to do a girl power thing, but it sucks. It's like a girl power in this like shitty way that I just can't. I hate it. I don't know if it's just like because Spice Girls were so good, in my opinion. Sorry if that's not a cool opinion, but I really like them.
No, the Spice Girls are good. They're good.
Even their music videos, and like even to the point of like you have this like surreal, you know, area that you're in when you're shooting this video, and like you have some fast motion and you've got these women that are trying to be sexy or whatever, but like Spice Girls did it better than this.
And you would never see, like, I can't recall Spice Girls like in their video that's supposed to like hammer girl power. It's like, all right, I'm gonna put these yellow gloves on you and you're gonna mop the floor.
Yeah, screw that shit.
Like, I get that there's probably like it's intentionally like
trying to be jokey,
but it's still at the end of the day, like they set up a scene where they're shooting Meghan Trainor like top down on the ground mopping a floor in a sexy way.
Yeah,
which is weird.
It's interesting you say that though, because so her album title, like the name of it comes from this song title, which is about how basically, like, if she's going to be sleeping with this guy, like, she should be called his girlfriend. Like, that's the big kind of the place that she puts her foot down in. And if you listen to, I'm going to reveal, I've listened to the audio commentary that Meghan Trainor does throughout this album. And she really, truly believes that this is like a very empowering message, like that
to
she's
be a girlfriend.
To sleep with a dude. If he doesn't call you his girlfriend, then you're not being strong.
I feel like
do your thing. Like if you're out there and you want to like have sex with dudes, like, and that's your thing, go for it.
You hear that, Adam Alexander? That's all.
I totally hear it. I'm behind it. Exactly.
I feel like maybe girls don't want to be called girlfriends. Right. They just want to like have sex with dudes. Like leave that alone. And I don't know. That's her own thing. Who am I to judge?
Right. Well, that's true. But like, I do think that we've had issues with Meghan Trainor videos before, and I think that we've always had issues with just like some of the core messaging that comes behind that stuff. Like I think that's where that stuff stems from, because Fatima Robinson is a fantastic director, and you know, I feel like it's kind of pretty difficult source material to start with. With that being like the whole like soul of the album is like, I want to be called a girlfriend.
The problem is definitely Trainor. I she's losing me more with every video. I don't know what she is.
You were on board, though. You were all about that bass.
I mean, I like her music. I think she has a good voice, but there's the lyrics, the messages that are slightly off. I don't know.
You know what it is to me? It's like it's coming from a place that she thinks that she's got some deficit to make up when it comes to like dudes. Whereas, like, I felt like with Spice Girls, not to compare her with Spice Girls so much, but with Spice
the
Girls, it was like,
don't matter.
Spice That's Girls were like, we're there, it's fine, like, girl power, whatever. Whereas Meghan Trainor's all, it's always like, it's all about that base, like, this is how I view myself rather than these dudes, like, judging me or right. whatever. Or, like, here it's I need to be, like, dear future husband. It's always in relation to a man exactly. rather than just being good with yourself, totally. Which I think is the thing that I kind of have a problem with when I get, now that I'm thinking about it.
Word.
In a deep sense.
now that we've unpacked this thing.
Yeah, no, now that we talked for 20
it's,
minutes.
It's really, I think the comparison of Spice Girls to Meghan Trainor is really, really, there's like a direct comparison there because she's being packaged as, in a weird way, empowerment to the generation that is out there and that is the age of seeing this video and have that be of their generation. And it is... Oh, like a like you said, like a very weird message that comes from a place of like a deficit. Like I like an almost defensive thing. Like All About That Bass, I think, was a huge hit because it was kind of a defensive message and kind of like a message that went against, you know, common themes. But it's I really want to see her do a video for Tidal, though. And I would really like to see that, even though this video is I think, really twisted in a lot of ways, I really want to see what's next. I'm always entertained by this.
Well, I'm good.
Like, it's funny, too, because, like, Adam Fairholm, you obviously still watch a lot of music videos, but I know that you tend to wait, you know, to watch the music videos from the podcast until you're preparing for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I have on good authority that you watch this Meghan Trainor video already.
I've seen it like 10 times. Yeah.
10 times.
I think it's worth noting that's a kind of a weird aspect of it that like,
you have a crush.
No,
it's okay.
But
you have to call yourself her boyfriend.
Yeah. I know. Meghan Trainor, you are my boyfriend. You are not my fuck buddy. You're my boyfriend. For All About That Bass, I made a little list of like what Fatima Robinson kept and what she threw out for these videos.
Okay.
She kept dancers. She kept fast motion. She kept this weird fascination and fetishization of food, especially sweet food like pies and cakes and things. Kept the pastel colors. They lost the fact, like any mention of people who are different weights calling attention to it. Like, so the fat guy from All About This Bass or the skinny girl from All About That Bass, that stuff is gone. But they also have kept like this weird focus on children too. If you remember in All About That Bass video, there are this couple that is playing with dolls in a dollhouse, this girl and boy. And in Dear Future Husband, there's the same thing. They're outside on a lawn kind of playing house in a way. But I don't know if you guys noticed this, like the girl, she's like 10 years old, but she's kind of more sexualized. She's wearing a super short skirt.
Where is
this? It's in the very beginning of the video. It just kind of creeped me out a little bit.
I don't remember this.
Yeah.
You're missing areas.
That is kind of a short skirt.
I don't know. It's a small detail, but it's the focus. There's like a theme repeating with Meghan Trainor. She has the same backup dancers. She has a lot of the same themes, same director. And you know, there are little pieces of this that are, I think, have meaning to them. And definitely the emphasis on always having children acting out like really basic roles that she's acting out in the video as well is.
What do you think that is?
I have no idea. I mean, in this video, like, there also is this weird pattern in this video of that is a little subtle that the men are like the males that are going to go and try to win her, you know, love or whatever, are kind of frozen before they start out. They're always sort of like frozen in waiting.
Mannequin, yeah.
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 Which is the theme of being a mannequin is also kind of something that Fatima Robinson explored in the All About This Bass video as well. So I don't know. Maybe we need somebody needs to write a term paper on this because I can't unpack it.
Yeah, right. A dissertation. I don't know what that word means.
so we should move to another video.
It. Yeah, let's move. We can move along. People know we don't like that video now. Let's talk about one we do like. How about?
So should we talk about the Kanye West All Day video?
Yeah, we definitely should.
This is a video that is something that Kanye West has done before for the N-Words in Paris, I guess, video.
That is...
I say Friends in Paris.
That's a good one. Yeah.
What about, so I do Nillas. I change it to a shortened word version of vanilla. So I make it just about white people, and I say Nilla.
Good, bringing it back to the white people.
I'm
sticking with Friends.
I don't really do that. Yeah, I don't do that at all. Anyway, that got weird for just real quick. All Day Kanye West featuring Theophilus London, Alan Kingdom, and whoever this other guy
Paul
is.
Paul McCartney. I haven't heard of him. Who's that?
Is he in the video?
No.
So this is a live music video. And
he's from the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Live at the 2015 Brit Awards, which is... I have never seen a British award show, I guess, and I was really interested in their setup here. But this is a pretty amazing live performance that features Kanye West with a bunch of guys kind of dressed similar to him, kind of in formation on stage. And there's two dudes operating flamethrowers, shooting flames up into the air at intervals. And that kind of goes on for the whole performance.
Right. Kanye West is probably, like, he is known for, like, being a great live hip-hop performer. His last Yeezus tour was... like talked about a lot for being like pretty unique for a hip hop concert. And I feel like, you know, he's a hip hop artist. Like a lot of hip hop shows I've been to are, you know, although it's one main artist, there are 11 guys on stage with microphones all shouting different things. There are a lot of hip hop performers who don't seem to like take it as seriously as Kanye West does. And plenty of people don't like Kanye West. You know, there's a petition to have him not perform at some, what is it called? Glassbury or something?
Glastonbury.
Whatever, who cares about that dumb thing?
I saw you tweeting. You were tweeting NBC. You were mad, Doug.
MSNBC, because they're like, I did tweet at MSNBC for sharing that story. Thanks for calling me out.
You were mad. So,
well, not mad. It's just not news that there's like a go, a MoveOn.org petition is not news, and they're treating it as
tell
news.
Tell him, Doug. Tell him.
Anyway.
Tell him.
Don't hurt him, Doug.
West.
Hold him back. I'm holding him back right now. Oh my gosh, he's going to do another tweet. He's tweeting again. Look out.
It's very violent.
Hide all those peacocks.
What?
Hide the peacocks. Doug's coming.
I don't get it.
NBC Peacock.
Okay, now I get it. Kanye West is very polarizing, obviously. But he's like gives a shit about every aspect of himself as an artist. And I think that this really comes through in this video. This was a video that was meant to just be his Brit Awards performance, and then he just decided to make it the official music video for All Day.
I think he should. Okay. I don't think he gave this his all. He didn't give this his all.
What about it is not his all?
Okay. The flamethrowers didn't work for
one
like
of the
20 seconds, 30 seconds.
You're right, that's true.
Second of all, he didn't raise... Okay, here's what I know. You're doing a thing, and as you go, you want to continue to like keep interest, and you want to like turn it up. You want, not just by showing Taylor Swift getting down to
that's
stupid music.
His song is good.
What I'm saying is, I didn't like the fact that it was just the same thing the whole time. I wanted something else to... I wanted him to turn it up. I wanted him to go maybe bring out four more flamethrowers, do something with that blank wall on the back. Like, do something else than just the same thing.
Well, they do drop down when he asks them to.
That is the only thing that happens, Doug, and that's not even that big of a deal.
I see your point. Respectfully disagree. And just in terms of like, I feel like this is still a lot more like it's a like you hear what he's saying when he's rapping. Like it is a polished sounding performance.
Yeah, agreed.
And which you also often don't get in a lot of hip hop performances, particularly in a lot of hip hop performances in events like this when everything's kind of like rushed and thrown together. The acoustics and the sound is often like not great.
Sometimes your flamethrower doesn't work.
Yeah, like it's because it's a live performance. But like I do think that this is going to be like kind of on on the path of what his new album is going to be. And that's kind of what he alludes to in his tweets. He says that, where is it? Let me just pull it up real quick. I decided to make this the first official video. I feel like the Brit performance captured the energy of the record. So, yeah, it's definitely not like crazy diverse and complex of a performance.
It didn't have to be complex and diverse. I just wanted something new to happen.
Okay.
You can't just do the same. I mean, to me, it's like I want to be surprised at some point. The beginning surprised me, and it was awesome. I was like, wow, this is actually a really cool idea for a performance. I like how sort of like raw it is. I like that he's actually rapping and it's not to a himself.
Like rapping over himself.
Yeah, exactly. I like all these aspects of it. It's just I wanted him to do something else.
I
feel like if I were in the crowd, I'd be like, what are you going to put up on that screen? Yeah. How are you going to surprise me
Interesting.
Now? Be Kanye.
I think that it's also, I'm impressed by the fact that it is four and a half minutes of one thing, but for me, the energy maintained throughout. And I didn't lose interest in the video. Now, like the little sprinkles of Lionel Richie and Taylor Swift dancing to the song.
God.
Like, they elevate the video for me.
Oh, I hate it.
They elevate
those are my favorite parts.
And Taylor Swift can get down.
It's it's so meaningful. Like, it means something that this is now an official Kanye West music video, and we have Taylor Swift credited on it. Like, knowing the history between Kanye West and Taylor Swift, like...
But that's a joke, then. The director is like, look, they've got history, everyone's going to want to know what Tay-Tay thinks about Kanye.
We
like,
already know
that. I hate placating like that.
But there's
all right,
so I think that there's no director here. There's no director here.
No, there was a director live directing.
Well, right.
He's in the booth and he's going camera two, camera five.
But they weren't directing a music video. They were directing a live performance.
Right, yes.
And that's why, like, it wasn't Kanye's choice to cut the Taylor Swift.
It's getting heated, man. We're getting heated right now. You see this?
She has a knife to my throat. Not even a knife.
It is violent. It's violent. Sorry, go on. Sorry.
When I have nothing left, I took all my dignity. Somebody back me up. Who loved Sam Smith in this video?
And so if I think the interesting thing is that it was. Go ahead, Adam.
He wasn't having that much fun. Jesse Ware was into it though.
Oh,
Sam Smith. No.
Oh. Anyway, Fairholme.
So I think it's interesting because the Taylor Swift part, because Taylor Swift has a history of award show kind of dance gifs or gifs, whatever your preference is there,
right.
Where the kind of the subtext is that she's, you know, an awkward white girl kind of jamming out awkwardly to music at award shows. And she's just like grooving the shit out of this right now. She is really feeling it like crazy.
What was it at the VMAs where she's in the blue dress doing the same kind of thing?
Yeah, but it was always like, oh, look at Taylor Swift. She's trying to. It's like the really like buttoned up girl at the office that gets like drunk at the Christmas party and like, you know, dances on the table or whatever. I think that people are trying to find that and that kind of quality in her.
I do wonder if she's now just like. It's now a thing that she's conscious of, and now she's doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm all right with that. Musicians being conscious of their actions.
If you're like directing an award show, if you don't have a camera on Taylor Swift, then you fucked up real bad. But
why is she there? Why do you have her there?
I think that the point of, and the reason why I think this is really important that this is an official Kanye West music video is that I think one of the major disadvantages rap and hip hop in general has been like that it's not a live format in a way, or in a live format that's like that's a publicly addressable to, you know, an arena of 40,000 people or, you know, whatever the number may be. I think they've struggled so much with that, and it's been a real detriment to like the art form in general. And Kanye West has changed that. I mean, Yeezus played to stadiums and was an amazing show. And if Kendrick Lamar's new album came out this week, To Pimp a Butterfly, and I think one of the most interesting choices he made on that album was to take a single, I, which is a really polished dance single, And to make the album version basically kind of a skit, I guess, that is all, you know, that is a live performance.
Right, that includes some like script. It's not actually a live performance.
It's not actually a live performance, but it's kind of like a pair. It's like a representation like of what a live rap performance is. Even for Kendrick Lamar, somebody who's, you know, a really famous and well-known rapper right now. At the beginning, he's got some like hype guy screaming like, "Is this mic on?" You know,
he's the best rapper in the world. Yeah, he breaks out of the chorus and like is telling people to come up to the front of the stage, like. Really like painting the live performance picture. And I feel like Kendrick is another hip hop artist who is trying to do something with the live performance. And he opened for Kanye on the Yeezus tour. So, you know, I feel like they're kind of following a similar path in terms of that.
And I do think that energy is the key to that. All the hip hop artists that seem to be making a live performance work, they have like the heightened level of energy that we do see in this. I think it works.
Yeah, no, totally. I do think that that's a big element of it because it's very easy for an artist to like, that's why a lot of hip hop artists put 11 guys on stage with them. So they don't have to bring the energy. And I feel like funny. You feel it. You feel it when the artist is actually trying when they're performing. And, you know, as not layered as this performance may be, I think Kanye's going for it. And I was into it. I like this a lot.
Andrea, can you at least appreciate the sheer planning that went into getting all those guys to stay in a shape on stage?
Absolutely. I just wanted that whole stage to be full of guys rather than just half.
I dig that.
Or bring out more and fill the aisles. Or you know, like have something else happen. Oh,
I love that. I do.
Other flamethrowers come out, you know, like just anything. Have all the just guys anything.
Turn into flamethrowers.
Taylor turn Swift one more has level a flamethrower.
Taylor Swift starts shooting Kim Kardashian's
yes.
flamethrower.
Or, yeah, anything. Tay Tay gets up on stage. Anything.
The one thing I do love about this is that, like, for a second, Kanye tries to not curse. And then eventually just, like, bails on that idea and just lets the curse words fly. Because this is a song with, like, a whole... Like, this song could be a Don Lemon, like, segment on CNN for how many times he says the N-word. And I feel like he tries to not say it initially. And
I should tell him
just
to say friends.
Right, he should just change
just
it
to do what friend. I do and say friends.
Change it to friend.
If Kanye West starts doing that, Andrea, he owes you some money.
Yeah.
So, Adam, did you not realize that the people look at me like I'm worth both MJs is a line from this song?
I haven't memorized all the lyrics, Doug.
Well, come on. Fuck you, man. Whose fault is that?
It's my fault.
Doug did.
I listen to this song a lot.
I do
fact,
enjoy
all day.
I enjoy the that's a good okay.
No, it's not.
No.
No.
No, it isn't.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not good.
I just got it.
Oh man.
So
let's move on. We've spent a lot of time on two videos.
Should we talk about these are very interesting videos. Should we talk about right. the Lil Wayne Coco?
Yeah, let's talk about Coco. We won't spend as much time on that. But I feel like there's enough backstory to at least tell it. So Lil Wayne Coco, which is a song where he's rapping over a song that already exists by, what's the artist's name who sings Coco, Andrea?
I don't remember. I just know the song.
Right.
I'm in love with the Coco, right?
Right, that is the song. It's OT Genesis, who's got two music videos for the song Coco, and now there's a third.
Seen one.
Yeah.
Where they're hanging out in the kitchen, just...
With their Coco.
Yes.
Right.
And for making milk chocolate.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't chocolate. Know, right, Coco refers to Coco Crisps cereal.
Or hot chocolate.
Right, it depends what, it's like a Coke and Pop type thing. Coco can mean either cereal.
And then he's talking about baking soda.
Yeah, it's weird, it's all over the place. Lil Wayne, on the other hand, in his version of Coco, basically seems to only be talking about how much he doesn't like Cash Money Records.
Hmm.
That's the core.
And I want to say that I think, I don't know if you guys, not to bust out some like filmmaker kind of bullshit, but have you guys seen that trilogy, like Koyaanisqatsi and Thakoyaanisqatsi and Powakatsi? Anyway, it has a lot of the visual, like the stuff of like the atomic bomb blowing over the trees and all that stuff.
In this video.
Yeah, in this video, it looks like maybe he just watched, like when I was watching this, I was like, I wonder if he just discovered the Kotze trilogies, because maybe like when I was back in like freshman year of college and I was watching those, I would have made a music video maybe similar to this.
Nice. Well, this video is directed by Efra Vera, who is a pretty prolific music video director. He did a music video for every song on the last 50 Cent album. Literally every song.
Has he used a lot of like old footage, like political type of, or like bomb footage, or like any of those esoteric type footage from like the 1950s?
But this isn't footage from. I thought all of the atomic bomb footage is from the atomic bomb dream sequence from Terminator 2.
I think that sort of
still a reference point.
Yeah.
I
think that is also a good. Maybe he watched that instead.
Yeah. Maybe he just watched T2.
Yeah. No. This is definitely the scene from the whenever you see the atomic bomb footage. It's the scene where I forget the character's name. The O'Connor. The woman.
John.
No. His mom.
Sarah
Connor is at the chain link fence looking at herself in the future.
and then
right after that LA gets nuked, and
you were absolutely right on that, and I thought
it was Nagasaki or whatever.
No, well, I thought it's this trilogy, never mind.
Okay.
Atomic bomb stuff in the trilogy though?
Yeah, well, it's like this old, it's footage that was taken when they were doing the tests.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I always think about that in reference to this, like, trilogy that is all, like, this dystopian type stuff. But no, I bet what you're saying is much more applicable to what he's
probably like, we're talking about.
Yes, this makes a lot more sense now.
So there's also a lot of past Lil Wayne footage in the Coco video. A lot of like old Cash Money videos and old Cash Money stuff. I feel like he's just like intentionally using this footage, and just like, it's like this video is kind of like a whole big fuck you to Cash Money Records. And so because of that, I feel like they're just stealing the footage.
Well, so a little background for anybody who is wondering why Lil Wayne hates Cash Money Records, because it's kind of bummed me out, because like as long as Lil Wayne has been rapping,
he's been on Cash Money.
He's been on Cash Money since he was what, like
16, 14?
Yeah, like a mid-teenager, and he hasn't been like shy about it. You don't have to like look into legal documents to find out he's signed
Cash Money. Yeah, right. It's like every one of his songs he says it 15 times.
And you know, apparently there's a great article on Medium that we'll link to in the show notes that kind of goes through a history of Cash Money that I had not really been aware of, that they have a very strong history of just like not paying people what they're owed. And you know, Lil Wayne is suing Cash Money. Lil Wayne also started his own imprint called Young Money, which Drake and Nicki Minaj and Austin Mahone, weirdly enough, is signed to.
But they're all also on Cash Money. Well,
right, Young Money is an imprint of Cash Money. So I was reading around on this, and what I've always heard that Lil Wayne owns 49% of Young Money, and Mac Maine owns another percentage. And apparently, people have looked through the court documents that have been filed for this lawsuit, and apparently Cash Money owns all of Young Money. A lot of people have kind of speculated after this lawsuit came out that the recent Drake album, I can't remember what it's called, if you're reading this, it's too late, I think, that was kind of dropped like a mixtape kind of without any fanfare, is part of Drake trying to get out of his contract or fulfill his contractual obligations to Cash Money as well.
And so that's what the meaning behind the title is, that like it's like or a just message like, or to just the label. Like,
and this also may, and partially, but this also may explain a lot of like the late 2000 Lil Wayne, because apparently like he's been fighting with Cash Money for a long time. It may explain like the Why Rebirth, I'm Not a Human Being, all these kind of like terrible albums.
Right, terrible albums. And he's also got a the Carter 5, Carter 11, Fast and Furious 7. What's the name of the new
Carter? The Carter 5. Yeah, that's, I should have mentioned that.
Carter 5, it's also being held up.
Yeah, Lil Wayne delivered the Carter 5, the cash money, and it was supposed to be paid $2 million and $8 million as part of a restructured deal that he renegotiated after the Carter 3, I think. And apparently, in keeping with apparently a long-standing tradition, that cash money has not been paid that. So that is the kind of the nexus of the lawsuit.
And no, but those are just reports. We don't have direct knowledge. We haven't talked to Slim and Baby.
Right.
Or any... but those are like reports.
Those are what people are writing about, yeah.
And that's... and
so that's true.
Well, exactly, Lil Wayne's clearly upset about something. And so... should we talk about the video? Does it matter?
Nah. Nobody... apparently, no.
No.
And then there's Scarface there.
Yeah,
Scarface.
I'm curious, like, where the... like, I'm curious because of all of that. The whole time I'm watching this video, I'm like, who bought this? Who paid for this video? Is it just like out of Lil Wayne's pockets?
I mean, it looks like it.
And if so, like,
sorry.
Well, no, I mean, that would make sense. And like, I feel like E for Vera has done some larger scale videos. This is not my favorite E for Vera video.
Like when Roy 50 Cent is a pilot.
Yeah, well, they did literally a video for every song on the album. So
the song's called Pilot, by the way, if anybody wants to go watch it.
Yeah, that's in the show notes. Yeah, this, I think the more interesting thing is that like someone is using a music video to like get back at their label, mm-hmm. is kind of what's going on in this video right now, and I think for that reason it's interesting.
The heavy-handedness of him being in the cage.
So on the nose.
Do you get the metaphor, though? Do you get it?
It's so on the nose.
Do you get it?
It's like because he's in a cage.
Oh, like he's trapped.
At the end, he like bends the bars to get out. That was a single tear rolled down my face.
No, the best ending would be if Matty Ziegler dropped in the cage with him and started dancing.
Elastic Heart style. Perfect.
That's what I was hoping for. And it's like, the whole video is like two Lil Waynes, all right? It's not like a pedophile thing.
Andrea, why haven't you guys at Vimeo just like full stop handed over all the keys to Doug just to make whatever pops into his head?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, I mean, like Doug would be, he would go find the birdcage from Elastic Heart. And
I mean, I would be down. He just needs to start saying...
Mm-hmm. My ideas.
Yeah, articulate your ideas out loud.
I'm gonna put a pitch deck together.
Yes, please. Okay. Talk to me. We'll make this happen.
Okay, cool.
And Doug are gonna reenact shot for shot the Sia Elastic Heart video. Actually, Doug's gonna play Maddie.
I'm playing the cage, yeah. And I'm just gonna kind of hang there. Obviously.
Could you guys do a Kickstarter for that? Because I would fund the whole thing.
I mean, you can donate, but we don't.
It's just a GoFundMe.
We got this.
We're not giving you shit. It's just, if you give us money if you want, here's the
otherwise, website. We're not making it.
But we're not giving you no fucking t-shirts or like back rubs.
Forget about that.
Whatever people give for Kickstarter.
Flying you out to eat dinner with us? Yeah. Nah.
Nipple your ear. All right, let's move on to something else. Let's move on to a good video. How about
good
that?
Good videos. We've got Yay. Two.
We've got at least one. Earl Sweatshirt Grief, directed by Hiro Murai, who I don't know who that is.
Who is that again?
No, Hiro Murai, somebody.
Oh, no. He was at the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, Hiro's also in the Rolling Stones. Hiro's somebody we've talked who's been on this podcast twice, and we've talked about pretty much every time he's directed a music video since we started this podcast. And
I coded it in a feature that whenever we add Hiro as a director, just staff picks it automatically.
Yeah, just automatically. I immediately.
It's a good idea, though.
Saves a lot of time. It's really been. It took.
We did
me...
that same at Vimeo.
Right, just like auto staff. Hiro, right. Like when he uploads a video, like just sirens go off here, and it's just like, oh,
we all
shit.
Stop.
Everyone comment. Yeah. Bring the comment fairies. So Grief is the third video that Hiro has directed for Earl Sweatshirt. The third kind of dark, like who knew that for Earl Sweatshirt's next album, he's going to go darker than he went the first time around.
Yeah.
Which is definitely what's going on here in Grief. And it's a video that is so dark, it's shot with a thermal camera. So it's literally like completely black other than the subjects in the video.
Which is awesome.
It makes for like such a chilling, like discomforting video. Like it's unlike anything I've ever seen. There's been a handful of thermal videos that have come out in the last like year and a half. One by Ryan Stake, which is really nice. But I feel like none of them do what this one does.
You know what it is? He doesn't just shoot this with a thermal camera and he's like, oh, here's the video and here's all it is. He changes things throughout.
Yeah.
You're constantly like, oh, what is that? And he like turns it up, unlike the Kanye vid.
Okay, nice. Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
But it is very layered. It's not just one room.
Right.
There is actually like multiple shots going on at once, but you can't tell. Like you kind of like don't really have perspective on where people are.
And it builds and yeah.
People are falling into the water and that you didn't even know that there was water there.
It's awesome.
There are like cold blooded snakes and shit in the video that have a different feel than warm blooded people. Like it and just like the eeriness, like the thermal camera really adds. Like I've never seen somebody's mustache look scary before. But fucking Earl Sweatshirt's mustache looks scary as fuck in this video. I'm like afraid of his whiskers. So like who can do that? And so yeah, this is a really fantastic music video.
I love it.
I do think we should mention, and again, I don't think it's a ripoff of it, because this definitely takes it to the next level, but I did remember a similar video by Emily Haynes that came out a few years back for this song, Our Hell, and it uses a very similar thermal effect.
Well, it's
I think it's notable.
There's definitely videos that use the thermal camera, and it was a new technology, like 2 years ago, and
well, yeah.
A handful of music videos have tried to use it. However, most of the times that I've seen it used, it feels like a gimmick. It feels like that's the idea. The idea is that they're
yes.
using a thermal camera.
I would agree.
In this video, they're using a thermal camera to elevate an already established vibe that has carried through all of the Earl Sweatshirt videos, and they're using it to elevate an established idea. They're not you making that the idea.
Yeah, you're right, Doug. But the Haynes video is you're saying a year or so. It came out in 2007, so
it's pretty it's old. I don't think it's thermal camera then.
Oh, it is absolutely. Check it out, Our Hell.
It exists.
Thermal camera. Yeah,
it's 27.
It did. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, either way,
it wasn't like used for entertainment.
Gotcha.
Usually, it was like you know, like the CIA or FBI or any of those military dudes would use it.
Okay, all those boys. Either way, every time I've seen it, like not every time, but most of the times you see it, the idea is that it's a thermal camera. That's not how I would describe this Grief video. Although, if we're going to talk about thermal camera stories, I do think Andrea has one.
All right. Well, I was watching this and I was like, oh, I got to tell Doug this story. The only experience I have with a thermal camera is a couple of years ago at NAB, which is a convention held in Vegas, the National Association of Broadcasters Convention. We go out there, and there's a dude with a booth, and he's got a thermal camera set up and a you know live feed from what that camera is seeing to this large screen that everybody can see. And I walk up, and we're making a video of my experience out there, and I was like, oh, look, we can make some little fun interstitial with this. So I'm, like, dancing in front of this camera. And right away, I noticed that the hot spots on my body are my face, my armpits, and my crotch. And when I see it, I immediately start cracking up because it's a funny. I mean, you're just like, you're in public, and it's like, look, my crotch is on fire. And it's like this beacon of white light. And I'm like dancing like an idiot with my armpits, my crotch, and my face, just like these, you know, beacons. And for all to see. And once I see that, I start laughing. My face turns like all kinds of bright white, and my you know the armpits start getting like whiter and brighter. And same with the crotch. For some reason, I don't get it. I don't understand why. But the guy,
I hate it. I hate it so much. But you can't, you know, it's like that thing where you like notice, you know, if you're nervous and then you notice you're nervous, then you get more nervous. It's that, it's like, oh, I'm hot. I notice that I'm hot and I get more hot. You know, like right. It just raises your temperature. So it compounded and the guy at the booth was not, he was not having it. He did not understand why I thought it was funny. He thought this was a serious technology that his company is offering. And me and my editor, Bill, were there shooting, and he was shooting it thinking that this was going to be hilarious. And it was, but the guy was like very not happy with us turning this into some sort of joke. His business, his livelihood is...
Right.
Laughing.
His like whole life is banged.
He's like, she's laughing, her crotch is hot.
He's like, I get it. Every fucking person who I've filmed today has had a burning hot crotch.
Right. And I was like, oh God. But yeah. So yeah. Thermal cameras, and I will admit, this whole time when I was, you know, I was watching that music video today, I was like, oh, I'm checking out their crotches to see if they've got hot spots like me.
Interesting touch to the video.
But I don't think it was a touch. I think that they did. They touched it up and made those crotches less hot.
I do think they did all sorts of shit.
I think they fixed it so that
pulled
crotch.
Down the crotches.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet. Ask him.
They just had somebody there who just.
They got the ice in the pan.
Ice down crotches.
It's like the person who takes like pictures of dogs for Christmas cards and stuff that has to like Photoshop out their junk. Is it like that?
Yes. Very similar, right.
So similar. In fact, I think they hired that person.
Right. I did talk to Hiro a little bit about the production of this video, and he did mention that they were doing all sorts of like playing around with like how people were lit and how people like, I don't think they put ice on anybody's crotch.
I know they did.
But I do know that they were like playing with all that stuff. Like it's not just like them shooting a room with a thermal camera and you get all of these effects, you know, where a mustache is scary. Like it's, you know, a lot of this is very calculated. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there was
ice crotch,
something in place to make the crotch less glowy.
My money is on like a guy whose sole job it is to keep the crotches cool.
It's like a fluffer in a porn.
Opposite.
Yeah, the opposite of a fluffer, just dumping ice down people's pants.
Yeah, right. a cool downer. What was that movie with William H. Macy, The Cooler?
Yeah, that was right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see his balls in that, by the way.
Are they really his balls?
I don't know. They could be the American thing.
The Cooler is like a movie. It's like a straight to DVD movie.
I saw it in the theater.
Okay, well, you live in New York City, and I don't. It's movie William H. Macy and Alec Baldwin, and William H. Macy like
Taya Leone, right?
Yes, and William H. Macy basically like plays like an incredibly unlucky guy who casinos hire to go sit next to people who are having like really good nights, and it ends their streak. Like his job.
He cools them off with their hot.
He cools people off.
This is the stupidest idea for a movie I think I've ever heard.
It's actually a pretty grounded film, but it is it's a really dumb concept.
And you do see his balls.
So
and you see
his balls.
Like I said, grounded.
Is that like on the DVD cover? Like,
no,
Macy's balls.
Yeah.
But Doug, I want to know, what was your favorite little scene from there? From that video? Not the movie.
Oh,
but
from
the music
the
video.
Music
was it
video.
Was it the gal diving in the pool? Because that was mine.
That was definitely like,
I think my jaw dropped at that point.
Yeah, it was the most unexpected moment for sure. Like the whole thing, like the whole atmosphere I get excited about, and every like little moment that reinforces or elevates the atmosphere I get excited about. But the girl jumping in the water was definitely the most unexpected.
I'm kind of worried about Earl Sweatshirt. He seems super like depressed in this.
Should we talk to him?
It's funny though, but
I think
so. Different contexts, he's all right. Like if you ever see him on that show, what's Tyler's Adult Swim show called, where he did the young N-word skits?
Friend.
Young
friends.
Loiter Squad.
Loiter Squad, right? And so Earl on Loiter Squad is like fun.
Mm-hmm.
but not in any of his music. This is the saddest song ever. I mean, it's amazing. Mm. It's a fantastic song, but it is depressing as fuck.
Doug's crying.
Depressing as fuck.
Yeah. No, it's okay, Doug.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Does he have the dual tears or the single tear?
Just a single. I can only see one of his eyes. Right. He's right. Sitting profile to me.
Right. Covering one side of my face. Let's pick on Bjork a little bit.
Should we? Okay.
Or do we just talk about this weird Matt and Kim video, or do we cut them both out?
Adam, did you want to talk about the Bjork thing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a couple things to touch on. The first being if it's actually a music video or not. It was released as a moving album cover. I'm not sure what that means. But I'm definitely a huge fan of this video. I love Andrew Thomas Wang, the director's. He has a very unique style of animating sort of tentacle-like things. He does this in a lot of his videos. And once again, he does it here. And I love this thing, whatever it is. It's not a full song.
No, this is like a 19-minute song. No, it's like
called Family. And we should mention that Andrew... I can't remember, Doug, you may know his exact role in the Bjork installation at the MoMA.
Well, he did, so he also directed a music video for, which is a music video for Black Lake, which is one of the exhibits at the MoMA. It is one of the ones that I was actually able to see. And that feels a lot less like the Andrew Thomas Huang videos that we've been seeing lately. It's a lot more stripped back. There isn't much visual effects or even practical effects. It's very performance based. There's like one moment of heavy visual effects, but everything else is very kind of like stripped back, and it's more in the manner in which you're watching it. It's a two screen experience. There's a screen in front of you and behind you, and you're in kind of this cavernous room that is reflected in the video. So that was very interesting. It, like I said, this Family video feels a lot more like the work we've been seeing from Andrew in the last couple of years. And then he also did, I believe there's a virtual reality piece that Andrew directed, but that was part of what was sold out when I was there at the MoMA.
You should have just gone up and said, "Do you know who I am?"
Yeah, just like punched them.
And then had the one tear come out.
Right. It's like that movie with Johnny Depp. What's that movie? Crybaby? Where he can have the one tier?
The pirate one?
No.
Mordecai? Mordecai.
It's called Crybaby. It's
Mordecai, you mean.
What's that movie? What's that director's name with the pencil-thin mustache? He directed all those, like, teen 80s movies.
I know who you're talking about. Salvador Dali.
Yep, Salvi.
Yeah, Salvador Dali.
What's that guy's name?
No, I know it. It's John...
John Waters.
Waters, yes.
Yeah, so it's a John Waters movie. Anyway, it's dumb that we talked about.
Can anybody name me a music video that John Waters was in?
Country Grammar, Nelly.
Close.
Elastic Heart, Sia.
He was in... Do you guys remember the Lonely Island, The Creep video?
Yeah, oh yeah, he is in that video.
Featuring Nicki Minaj.
He's also one of the guys in the Kanye performance.
In the audience.
He's one of the guys. No, he's one of the guys with
on
the hoodies.
Stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had the flamethrower that didn't work.
Yeah, he had the broken flamethrower.
He's the one who didn't get low quite
right.
fast enough. And then we should also mention this Matt and Kim thing, because we always love Matt and Kim.
We're not talking about the Bjork video. That's fine. I mean, I think it's not a music video, so maybe we won't talk about
it. It's more of an album promo, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it's tough to, I think it's really tough to talk about super conceptual videos. I think we run into the same thing when we talk about animated videos. You can watch them and be like, that was beautiful and really moving, but I don't like know how to articulate it. And I feel like the same way, like if you sat me down and said, like, tell me what Mutual Core is about, the Andrew Thomas Wang video for Mutual Core by Bjork, like I don't know, but I think
we should go back to the podcast where we talk about it and we sound like assholes. So
yeah, like 2012.
Right, great. So yeah, let's talk about this weirdo Matt and Kim thing. It's more of like a pitch to help them make a music video. Matt and Kim, on their Vevo account, uploaded two videos of close-ups of their face singing their new song, Can You Blame Me? And they've asked their fans to get their iPads, play the face videos on the iPads, and go around and make a music video for them with their faces in it. And then they make like a, they've made like a little example video of what they'd like to see, and that all those three things are currently on their Vivo account. It's fun, right? We're doing.
Well,
this,
I don't know.
Right?
Who's doing this?
I've done it already.
You have.
We shot one today. We brought out the Mobi. What's the thing called?
The Mobi.
The Mobi. We did like it. I walked through the Vimeo office.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, that because it didn't really happen. Should we do this though, guys? What do you think?
No,
I don't really want to.
Okay.
Doug's so into it. He's got another tier. God.
We do. I don't know. Matt and Kim are.
I think Matt and Kim have lost this music video step.
I mean, they've got some amazing music videos. They're a lot of fun, and kind of the gimmick thing is what they do. This is stupid.
Their last one was not a good video either. I didn't really
Didn't like Hey Now?
No.
The only thing I can think of when I look at Matt and Kim now is like they're exhibitionists in a lot of ways.
Well, they are that.
And over the we had Jonathan Delgado on the podcast long time ago, who directed Cameras and Block After Block for Matt and Kim. And I can't remember if we talked about this Lessons Learned video where Matt and Kim get nude and walk around Times Square.
Lessons Learned is just directed by Taylor Cohen, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and Otto Arsenault. And it feels like they used to be like kind of exhibitionists together. And
now it's just Kim.
And now it's just Kim. Like, the Hey Now video is very unapologetically like a whole commercial for Kim's butt, basically, and her butt dancing.
You mean Hey Now?
Hey Now, yes, sorry.
Yeah.
And this thing, like, the little YouTube still for it is Kim, like sitting on a toilet. It feels like it's like a frog being slowly boiled in a pot of water. Like, in another year, we're going to be, like, basically watching, you know, Kim do whatever. I don't even know. I don't even want to know. But
yeah, I thought the toilet thing was funny for a half second. Like, if they would have like cut to it very quickly and then cut away and pretended like that never happened,
yeah,
I think that would have been hilarious. But the fact that they did it and held on it and then did it again held on it for even longer, I was like, no, you're not making this isn't funny anymore. Now you're just like desperate and weird, and I'm sorry.
Right,
it's
now
not,
you're just shitting.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Now you're just sitting on the toilet, and I'm, like, looking at your body and, like, I don't know what I feel about this right now. But it would have been great if it was just a quick, like, oops, we caught you in the bath. Like, I think that's funny.
That would have been better.
Oh, that would have been so good.
Yeah, to their credit, like, it is just, like, an example video. But, like, there's, like, everything that gets uploaded to an artist's Vivo account, like, gets looked at.
Doug, you're not paying attention close enough. They are definitely, their whole career is moving you closer and closer to
their sex video.
To basically get it, yeah. If I met Matt at a party I feel like if at the very beginning of this video where he's like trying to pitch you, it's like Matt like being really overly enthusiastic about this thing, like looking you directly in the eye, and I feel like if Matt's the kind of guy, like if he came up to you at a party, he would like kind of like corner you and like be super excited about everything you have to say, and then reveal to you like it's a key party and he wants you to go home with Kim. Like, it's there's some weird shit going on.
Well, he hides in the closet.
Well, and
videos, like watches. Yeah,
exactly. We're on the same plane.
the like source video,
and that's
their
new music video. You fucking Kim.
I mean, it would be great.
Sorry.
God. That'd be great. I guess they do fuck around with nudity a lot. Even in the Dugan O'Neill Let's Go video, which I think is probably their best video, there's like a quick scene where Kim is topless.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like holding – maybe they're both naked. I think they're like with a group of naked people. But they fucked around with it then too. But like then they did it right, because then it's just like a quick shot and then it's a cut back to Dugan. So it is just like a quick joke, almost like a mistake thing. Whereas, yeah, in this thing, but I do want to. I think it's worth mentioning that like what we're looking at is not a music video right now. Like, this is just them showing you what they want their fans to do.
You're right.
They're setting the bar really high with that example.
It is a and it's also like if you watch Like, if you just sit and watch the face versions.
I did, yes, I did.
It is so weird.
It's awkward.
It's so awkward. The face versions of just, like, especially the parts where there's no music. And where it's just them,
looking
like,
around.
Yeah, smiling and looking and glancing and, like, trying to be cute. Yeah, that's all weird. That's
my favorite Matt and Kim video, which also has some moments where they're topless, is the Yeah Yeah video. Do you remember that one? Where they're having the food thrown at them and they're all wearing white.
Who directed Super that old. One?
Yeah, and in the bottom of the screen, before the object gets thrown at them, you see like a thumbnail image of what's about to get thrown. And it's fun. I like it. And it's probably their best video. And it's a million years old.
I don't remember that one. I'm still sticking with the Dugan one as their best, though. That's the official IMDb opinion. No, I'm kidding.
That, we don't have those. I feel like that food thing has got to tie into one of their fetishes somehow.
Yeah. This is weird. It is weird. It's funny that you guys didn't know there were a couple last time we talked about a bad Matt and Kim video.
Who didn't know that?
Adam Alexander.
Oh.
I don't remember that. Was I here?
Nope.
Yeah, we were just we had like a dummy like propped with the quarter, and we were like, Adam, you don't know that they're a couple. Oh my god,
stupid idiot!
It was a great episode of this podcast.
I might not have known. It's
and Doug shed a single tear again. God, we're doing it again.
I've been
Doug.
You just need to get the tear tattoo, like the cool,
like Lil Wayne.
Yeah, exactly. Do it
and get in the cage.
Have you guys seen the picture of Lil Wayne and Birdman kissing each other?
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. I got it framed over here. It kind of feels sad that Lil Wayne and Birdman were so close and now they're suing each other.
It was Birdman Jr.
Birdman.
Lil Wayne was Birdman Jr.
He had so many great lines about being...
You
so
weren't joking.
Bird-themed raps.
Right. He would do that. It's like a very passionate kiss that they're...
Wow.
It's a sweet one.
Are you looking at that picture right now, Andrew?
Yes, yeah, we are.
If you just like Google it, there's like 11 versions of it. There's a bruh version of it too, where the man's face in front of it.
That's great.
So I think we should. I feel like
that's
Andrew.
The
I'm very glad that you're on the same page with me as the weirdness that's going on with Matt and Kim.
Yes.
I thank you for that because I feel like Doug and Adam aren't.
Who's that? I'm on that page.
No, I'm there too.
You don't, but you're not imagining what's coming next. You know?
Oh, yeah, totally.
No, I don't try to do that. All right,
I'll be imagining it later too.
You're gross, Adam.
Super Sorry. Gross. So I think have we done it? I think we kind of covered things.
We fucking did it, you guys. There are couch cushions on the table.
Don't give away the secrets.
Okay.
And I think everybody should go visit a site that has an amazing picture as like a top, like the first thing you see. And it is Bill Clinton with his cat socks. That's AndreaIsCool.com, which has all sorts of amazing things, including you guys shoot a lot of videos at Vimeo, some that include Doug.
Yes.
Which people would be very excited about because, you know, people dog is a following.
And there's gonna be a new one coming out, weekend challenge video, I think sometime in May, that Doug stars in.
Yeah, I was running my lines with Adam.
Nice. He was, yeah.
We were practicing.
Awesome.
I tried yes like 15 different times.
He did a great job.
Killed it.
And you also have these, I was looking through this earlier before the podcast, and these hats that you have a picture of on here that have the VCR play and stop things on them.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I remember, I don't remember who I reblogged that from, but I saw that and I was just like, this, I need these. I want these.
Do you own them?
No, but I want to
you can.
Find where I can buy those.
One day.
I know, I'll make them myself.
Okay, that would be cool. make one for all of us.
I'll do it myself.
So thank you, Andrea, very much for joining us.
Well, it's been awesome and thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, whatever. Fun.
Come on, Doug.
No, it was super fun.
I'm going to tattoo that tear now.
Okay.
We'll all get we're all going to the tattoo parlors to get tear tattoos. Doug's going to get two. Everybody else gets one. We'll see you guys next week.